Hello, I'm Raymond Benson, and I'd like to welcome you to Bond Music 101. Class is now in session.
$267,000.
I'll settle for one dance with Domino.
Can you play any other tune?
Something we're making for the Americans. Called the Ghetto Blaster.
May I cut in?
That's the cello!
Play it again, Sam. It's a charming tune.
Hello and welcome back to the fourth episode of Raymond Benson's Bond Music 101, four episodes in, and he hasn't figured out how to get away from us yet. I'm one of your hosts, Jared Albrecht, the Art Sale Artist, and we are here today to have our multi-Bond novel author friend Raymond Benson enlighten us on the history of the scores and soundtracks of the 007 universe. But before we get to Professor Benson himself, I want to introduce you to my co-host of this episode and our other episodes, Mr. Alan J. Porter. And Alan, before I introduce you, I need you to know something. I put a C-spine on the teacher's chair. This is going to be hilarious, but I'm not sucking the poison out. So, what do you got for us today, Alan?
That gave me a mental picture I did not need. So today we're taking a deep breath and diving into the music of Thunderball. But before we sort of get into the music of Thunderball, I'm going to tell my Thunderball origin story, because Raymond talked about how last episode he was talking about how Goldfinger was his, sort of his gateway drug into Bond, the music of Goldfinger. Mm. So Thunderball was my gateway drug into Bond. I know, Jared, you've heard this story. It was not the movie. It was not the soundtrack. It was a board game produced in the UK that had little plastic frogmen that one of my friends got for Christmas, that we spent a long time during the school holidays playing this board game about this character called James Bond, who I'd never heard of before. He had the coolest plastic figure in the set because he had the extra large scuba tanks on. So I had to go find out who this guy was. And that eventually led me to seeing Majesties as my first Bond movie in the theaters, and sort of been a fan ever since. But it all started with the Thunderball board game that was available in the UK. So it was a little plastic James Bond that got me into the franchise.
Still so looking for that board game, man. You've got me on it.
Yeah, me too. I've got the American version, but that only has cardboard cutouts. It doesn't have the plastic frogman that the British
would. You got to have the plastic frogman.
I had the Milton Bradley American one. The cardboards had, you know, illustrated Bond and and frogman on it. And you would fit them on these little stands, right?
Right. Yeah. I do have it. I have that game upstairs. Yeah.
And really, the game was Clue. It was played exactly like Clue. You had to go around and you had to uncover different clues and find out where the bomb was hidden. If you had substituted all those things for rope and wrench and revolver and all that, it was the same game.
Blofeld in the satellite with the dart gun.
Exactly. It really was. I remember playing it and going, this is just like Clue. And I was 11, you know, and I'm going, you know, or 10 or whatever I was. I'm going, wow, this is, this is just like Clue. But it was still fun. It was a great game. I actually liked the Goldfinger game. The Goldfinger game was really great. That was a really good strategy game. Anyway, we're getting off tangent here.
We are, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. Now, the student desks are filled. Jared and I are waiting impatiently for the professors who sit on his whatever C-spine. Nasty thing it was. Thank you, Spike.
I'm Let's sitting on a Thunderball board game.
No, don't. You'll break it. That's too valuable.
Well,
you could always sell it to Jared on eBay. Yeah.
I don't have it anymore, so... Hi, everybody. I'm Raymond Benson, and I'm back with these wacky guys, and it's always fun to talk about the Bond music. Not that I'm any really kind of expert on it, but I've always loved it, and I am a musician, and that's probably my only credential. So as I've said before, I get a lot of my notes from various published books. A big shout out to John Burlingame and his The Music of James Bond is a great resource. And let's just get started. You know, I'm realizing more and more that as we go on, there's going to be less interesting stories behind the music, and we'll just end up playing DJ you know, playing our favorite tracks is what it's going to end up being as we get farther along. But there's some interesting stuff here with Thunderball. So Goldfinger was this big hit, and John Barry had a number one album with the soundtrack of Goldfinger. So the producers hired him back. What a surprise. They knew it was going to be Thunderball. At first he was going, well, how can I make a song out of that? You know, I mean, what kind of lyrics would go with Thunderball? Around that time, in between the movies, some Italian news article referred to James Bond as Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And that kind of stuck. And he saw that and he went, Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, that could be a song. And he discussed it with his pal, Anthony Newley, who helped him out with the Goldfinger lyrics. And so they were playing with that around. And about that time, they were shooting in the Bahamas, and Barry was invited to go on location. But just kind of like what happened with Istanbul, he didn't really find anything that was inspirational. So he went back to London and just started composing stuff. He checked with the producers. He checked with Broccoli and Saltzman. He said, how about Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang? Let's do a song. Maybe that can be the theme. They went, oh, that sounds good. So he asked Leslie Bracussi to do the lyrics. As you know, he was also the guy that co-wrote the lyrics for Goldfinger. So they wrote the song Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And they thought this was going to be the theme song. And meanwhile, Terrence Young was still filming in the Bahamas. And he heard the song and he liked it. And so he named a location while they were filming. And that was the club. Remember, they called it the, I think, the Kiss Kiss Club or the Bang Bang Club or something like that. It wasn't the Kiss Kiss Bang Bang Club, but it was half of that or something like that. So they all kind of thought that was what was going to be the theme song. And so Barry started incorporating that theme, that melody, into a lot of the score, which you will hear, like The Death of Fiona has that theme in it, and so on. So they figured, okay, who's going to sing it? Well, Dionne Warwick was a big star at the time. So Barry asked her to do it, and she came in, they recorded it, and everybody seemed to love it. Let's hear it.
A shark, he looks for trouble. That's why the zeros double. Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. He's suave and he's smooth and he can soothe you like vanilla. The gentleman's a killer. Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Demoiselles and strangest past, like a knife, he cuts through life, like every day's the last. He's fast and he's cool, he's from the school that loves and leaves them. A pity if it grieves them, Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang's not a fool. Strangers past, like a knife, he cuts through life, like every day's the last. He's fast and he's cool, he's from the school that loves and leaves him. A pity if it grieves him, Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang's not a fool.
nice.
It is nice. I like that song, and I like the melody, and I think it's a catchier tune than what we're about to hear.
Mm-hmm. I loved that song up until this last weekend when I listened to it over and over again, and then I realized it just became earworm and I was hearing it everywhere. It was just buzzing around at the back of my head.
Well, it does. It sticks with you. It does stick with you. After I was planned out the track listing for this show, I was hearing Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang a lot in my head. Yeah. So, yeah. Trying to go to sleep at night. And
exactly. That was it.
I was kiss kissing and bang banging.
All right.
So that was recorded and done. They all loved it. And then he went on and continued to write music and then got closer to the finished film. And United Artists apparently stepped in and said, hey, wait a minute. We want a song that has Thunderball in the title. In fact, we want Thunderball to be the title because Goldfinger was such a hit. And, you know, when we have a hit, it helps us. So the producers kind of went, well, okay. And so they went back to Barry and they said, okay, we got to ditch Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. You got to write a song with Thunderball in the title. So Barry goes, oh boy. Well, Bracussi wasn't available at that time. So he turned to Don Black. You know, he knew Don Black. We talked about him before way back in the From Russia With Love show. So Don Black wrote the lyrics. You know, everyone had their own opinions about who the song is about. Is it about Bond? Is it about the villain? Nobody could really give a definitive answer on that. So I guess it's up for interpretation. Also, it's interesting. Note, John Barry uses some of the notes from the Bond theme in it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a little section where it goes, da, 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 da. And then the whole, da, dum, da, da, bum, bum. That's taken from the Bond theme, you know. They asked Tom Jones to sing it because he was coming off of What's New Pussycat, all that stuff. He was a big, big star at the time. So he recorded his version in October. And unlike what rumors or, you know, legend has it, he did not faint at the end after holding the note, but he did get dizzy. He got a little dizzy, but he didn't faint. He held the note for 9 seconds. So let's listen to the main title, Thunderball, with Tom Jones singing.
Walk. He acts while other men just talk. He looks at this world and wants it all. So he strikes. Success. His needs are more, so he gives less. They call him the winner who takes all, and he strikes. He strikes like thunder.
Okay, that's awesome. So remember I said that Goldfinger was not my favorite Bond theme song?
Yeah.
That is my favorite Bond theme song.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I had just said 5 minutes ago that I thought Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is a better theme song. I just find it a catchier melody. And if you hear the song enough, then yeah, you could probably sing it to yourself. But walking out of the theater the first time, I bet you couldn't hum this song.
Probably not. But to me, it was just a powerful song, a bit like it was a Goldfinger, but it was about, for me, it was always about Bond. I just love the lyrics. I think they really tell a great story about he walks when other men run, walks towards the danger and all that. I just love the lyrics in it.
Yeah.
And
I'm not dissing the song. I like the song.
No, I know you're not. And I wasn't taking it that way. But this has always been my personal favorite.
Well, great. Well, I think Tom Jones really does a great job. And he still does it in concert, apparently. Yeah.
Wow.
It's one of his
standards. I bet he can't hold that note for nine.
I don't know. I really don't know. But there was still time for Barry to incorporate this theme, this melody, into some of the score. And in fact, there's a couple of places, on the original soundtrack album, the LP, side one ended with a song called Cafe Martinique, which was basically the Thunderball song, only done in a sort of lounge music, soft nightclub kind of easy listening version. Well, you flip the album over and the first song on side two is Thunderball instrumental, which is basically the same thing. It's another lounge music, soft candlelight version of the theme song. So when the CD came out, you had both of those tracks side by side. So you're listening to the CD and you get to that Cafe Martinique, and you go through the whole, and they're long tracks too. They're like 5 minutes or something. And you hear that whole long, soft Thunderball song. Oh, and that was nice. And it stops and it goes to the next track. And it's like it's starting all over again. And you're going, oh, okay. that was a little weird. But anyway, let's go through some of our favorite pieces in the music. Now, when the soundtrack album came out, it was rushed. Barry had not completed music for the last third of the movie. The United Artists wanted to put out the soundtrack album. And so it only contained originally music from the first two thirds of the movie. And we didn't get to hear a lot of the last third until the 30th anniversary 1992 double CD came out, a collection, and it had a suite of that missing music that was about, it was between 10 and 15 minutes long. Well, when the remastered CD came out, what year was that? 2003, I think. They broke up that suite into several sections of mini suites with different tracks on them. So we're going to explore a couple of the better ones. Let's play the next track. This is one of the suites that was a bonus track on the remastered CD. Actually, this music does appear in the first third of the movie, or at least the first two thirds, first half of the movie, but it wasn't on the soundtrack album. And this incorporates Bond Meets Domino, which is the music played when he's underwater and she's underwater and they meet for the first time. Then we have the Shark Tank music where Bond is at Largo's place and meets the fishies. And then Lights Out for Paula when Bond finds his compadre, Paula Kaplan, dead after being tortured. Then For King and Country, which I guess is the music where Bond is with Luciana Paluzzi, with Fiona Volpe, in the bedroom. So let's hear this track. Thank you. Okay, now that first piece, The Bond Meets Domino, you heard the Bond theme, really, you know, so it played very slow. And then it went into a very slow calypso number, a sort of a pretty song that was not used in the movie. Barry composed it for the scene right after they meet in the water and go to the little cafe. That's where, you know, where Bond tells her, "Wait till you get to my teeth." It was thrown out for some reason, and they inserted the Thunderball theme, the slow version. I guess that's Café Martinique. It's kind of interesting that that little piece survived enough that we got it as a bonus track.
It was a fun piece. Yeah. I'm surprised they cut it.
Yeah.
Nice piece. Yeah,
yeah, it would have worked. And then, you know, you heard some of the underwater music that Barry composed during the Shark Tank sequence. And there's a lot of the underwater music, as I call it, throughout the movie because, you know, there's a lot of underwater scenes. And for that, he used a lot of harp, vibraphone, flutes and strings. He called it lots of echo with no bass. He wanted the melodies to float, and they do.
Yeah, mission accomplished.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, job. I think it's great. Great stuff. And it's really gorgeous.
I think that's an example of the thing we were talking about last time where Barry can give things that don't normally have the sound, a very recognizable sound. And it just, that water music just evokes flow and movement and waves and being underwater. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And then there in the toward the end with the scene where Bond's with Fiona, you heard a slow version of Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yep. Very ominous for a bedroom scene. It's a very ominous undertone to it, which I suppose is in fitting with the fact she's a femme fatale, but it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, we have the sneaky Bond with the lights out scene as well, which I always like some sneaky Bond music.
All right. Now, our next piece, you know, The Death of Fiona, this takes place at the Kiss Kiss Club or the Bang Bang Club, whatever it was called. I can't remember. We had a guy named King Arison, who was in the band playing the congas and the bongos. He had a number that he actually played, you know, the scene where she gets shot. He did a thing where he sort of increased the tempo, you know, had his own number for that when they shot it. But it was taken out and he played the congas again with Barry's music. Barry put the music on instead of the band that was actually playing in the club. So we get sort of a mixture. I'm pretty sure they dubbed his congas into Barry's track is what they did. So let's listen to Death of Fiona. This is a cool little number that has a lot of the Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang in a more lively setting until the gun comes up.
My wedding song.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, how are you supposed to dance to that little section, you know, when the guy congas, you know, or are we to think that that really didn't happen, that was just all in, you know, for drama?
Right.
Yeah, I do love the way it just goes from that height of the crescendo instantly back to the da, right. Da, da.
Yeah, that's why I think, you know, it was for drama. It was okay, let's move on to Search for the Vulcan. I love this theme. He used this little melody underwater earlier in the film and in a more subdued, more subtle way, but in this one it's more sweeping. The Barry sweeping strings and full orchestra when he uses it. Of course, this is the helicopter, you know, in the sky looking for a Bond and Felix Leiter are looking for the plane. That sweeping version of this melody is very apropos. I think it's really terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, he found it.
Yep. And that's going to actually take us into the next track. This is another one of the big bonus suites. It's a rather long track, but it goes through a lot of different changes. That's why I like it. The first part is called Finding the Plane. He dives into the water and finds the plane. Then the underwater ballet is when Bond and Domino kind of, you know.
You can say a lot with air bubbles.
Yeah, they make bubbles.
lots of bubbles.
Yes. Then Bond with the Spectre Frogmen. That's a lot of Bond sneaky music because she's told him, you know, where they keep their stuff, their equipment, and Bond goes there. And that leads to Leiter getting ready to bring all his men to intercept the Spectre Frogmen. And then Bond joins the underwater battle. And we get a new variation of the 007 theme that is used a couple of times in the movie. The first one is during the Junkanoo parade when Bond is being chased by Fiona and her henchmen through the big parade. And then again during the big underwater battle. So we get a taste of it here. So let's listen to Finding the Plane, Underwater Ballet, Bond with Spectre Frogman, Leiter to the rescue, and Bond joins underwater battle.
Thank you.
I just realized listening to that again that the lighter to the rescue part is actually when he rescues Bond from the little cave after Bond has swallowed the tracking pill. Yeah. And Leiter shows up with the helicopter and brings down the little vest thingy.
You think that tracking pill gave him cancer?
I don't know.
Swallowed his radioactive pill.
It made him lose his hair.
I know how he feels.
All right. Some good stuff there. A lot of the underwater music. You got some of the Bond theme. You got some of the Thunderball theme. You got some of the 007 theme. Very rich, rich stuff. All right, so the movie's finished, the score is in, and the producers think, you know, maybe we should put Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang with a vocal at the end of the movie, an end title song. And Barry says, yeah, let's do that. But, you know, they're listening to that Dionne Warwick cut, and they're going, you know, I'm not sure Dionne gave her best performance there. Why don't we ask Shirley Bassey to come back and do another Bond song? So they did, and Shirley Bassey came in to redo Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. So let's listen to that version.
He's tall and he's dark, and like a shark, he looks for trouble. That's why the zero is double. Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. He's suave and he's smooth, and he can soothe you like vanilla. The gentleman's a killer. Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Damoiselles in danger have filled the stranger's path. A knife, he cuts through life like every day's the last. He's fast and he's cool. He's from the school that loves and leaves him. A pity if it grieves him. Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bangs. From the school that loves and leaves them. A pity if it grieves them. Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bangs. Not a
Shirley, I think actually she gives a much stronger performance than Dionne Warwick. What do you think?
It's sassier.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
It is. Well, for some reason, though, I don't know whose idea it was. They just decided that they didn't want an end title song. And so it was scrapped. The one problem is they didn't tell Shirley. And so when Shirley found out that they dropped the song, I guess it was something in her contract about it. And so she sued. She sued Eon. And that developed not very good feelings between the producers and Shirley Bassey for a while. The case was eventually settled. So she got some money out of it. So for about 5 years, they weren't speaking. But I guess all would be forgiven by 1971 because she was asked back to do Diamonds Are Forever. Maybe that was part of the deal that they would ask her back, you know, to do another song sometime. So who knows? I really don't know the details of the case. Nobody does. But that's what happened. So what happened at the end kind of depends on what territory you were in for the film. Some prints of Thunderball had the Monty Norman James Bond theme from Dr. No as the end titles. And then some prints had a variation of the Thunderball theme instrumentally, a brassy version of it. So I forget now what's on the Blu-ray, the official Blu-ray. I think it's the Thunderball theme.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
But yeah, when I first saw the movie, it was the John Barry version of the Monty Norman version that was in Dr. No. And I guess that's still floating around in some prints. So who knows? That was interesting. I don't know why they cut. It should have been an in-title song, if you ask me. And interestingly, on the soundtrack album, the last track on side two was an instrumental version of Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang without vocals. But it was the same backing track as the Dionne Warwick version. And they dubbed in a saxophone to do the melody. And it also differed depending on what, if you had the stereo version of the soundtrack or the mono version of the soundtrack. The stereo version had the Dionne Warwick backing track. The mono version had a completely different version of Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang that we don't hear anywhere else.
Jeez, they're all over the place with the soundtrack.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And so none of those two were heard in the movie. Yeah.
Interesting. Sounds like a lot of backroom deals and things going on around what could and couldn't be used, I guess.
Well, I think it just shows you all the craziness that happens for a Bond film. You know, it's made by committee. It just is. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, that no director has auteur kind of power over a Bond film. You know, it's really the producers. The producers are the auteurs, especially in the early days.
Yeah.
And then United Artists has their finger in the pie and they're, you know, dictating certain things too. So who knows, you know, but that's our examination of Thunderball, the score. I think it's a great score. I think it's one of Barry's best. There's about three I like more, but it's probably my fourth in line, I think, for all of his Bond music.
What was your favorite track?
I kind of like Search for the Vulcan.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
The main theme's great. And if the Shirley Bassey Kiss Kiss Bang Bang had been used, I would have said, you know, that too.
And what about you, Jared?
I have to go into the second suite that we did that started with Finding the Plane and Underwater Ballet. I really like when the action picks up near the end and does that bump, 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 bump.
Yeah.
That just really sticks with me every time I hear it.
Yeah, I like that too. Yeah, when the 1992 30th anniversary thing came out and they played that, I just went, oh, wow, it's got that part of the music.
That is
because
so
I remembered it from the movie. I remembered it from the movie, but it was not on the soundtrack album. I was going, oh, cool.
What about you, Alan?
Yeah, that's actually one of the things I love about this score is the fact that it's balancing four themes because we have the Kiss Kiss Bang Bang theme, the Thunderball theme, the 007 theme, and the James Bond theme. I think it does a great job of balancing all four. I can't think of another movie that has so many.
It's got, it also has the underwater stuff.
And the underwater theme, so that's right.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff.
So I think it's a very rich score. Obviously, you know, as I said, the Tom Jones Thunderball is my favorite theme song, so I guess that gets my vote. But I'm with you too on the version of the 007 theme used when Bond joins the underwater battle. For me, that's the highlight of the movie. I just love that part of the movie.
And who are these nuts that say, oh, Thunderball is slow moving because of all the underwater scenes? Hey, you know.
I think I'm one of those guys.
Go watch him. Go watch him TV. I didn't think it was slow or boring. When I was 11, you know, when I first saw it, I was going, this is so cool. You know, Thunderball is like, oh, I think it's just terrific. It just really captures that era of Bond so well that it's just, you know, it's a peak.
Well, I'm afraid my daughter refers to it as the boring one.
Oh, that's I think Connery is so good in it. He is like just so on his game in Thunderball. I think it's fantastic.
I will say your bonus pick this time around gets my seal of approval.
Oh, yeah. I better tell you about this. Unless, Jared, you want to talk about it.
I tell you what. You give the history behind it. I just want it noted for the record. I selected a bonus track and then Raymond emailed me and said, suggested a bonus track. I said, that's exactly what I selected. And then Alan contacted me. He was like, I love the bonus track. I'm like, finally, bonus track harmony.
Well, the thing is there's a lot of lore out there that Johnny Cash did a Thunderball song for the movie, and that some people actually thought the producers asked him to do one, but that is false. That is absolutely not true. Johnny Cash just got it into his head, I think I'm going to write a Thunderball song and submit it and try to get it to the producers, and maybe they'll use it. Well, I don't even know if the song even got to the producers. Well, maybe they, you know, maybe since it was Johnny Cash, they heard it. I really don't know. Did Johnny Cash actually release this? Do we know?
If anybody would know, it'd be Alan.
I don't believe so, no. I don't think it was ever an official release. It's
Well, anyway, this is Johnny Cash's attempt to write the Thunderball theme song.
There's a rumble in the sky and all the world can hear it call. They shudder at the fury of the mighty thunderball.
Thunderball.
The power of her engines now is drowned in the sea. But the deadly force from within her is somewhere running free.
Running free.
Thunderball, your fiery breath can burn the coldest man. And who is going to suffer from the power in your hand?
Thunderball.
Somewhere there is a man who could stop the thing in time. He's known by very few, but he's feared by all in crime.
All in crime.
By courage and by fighting, he has not been known to fall. But neither has the fury of the mighty Thunderball.
Thunderball.
Thunderball, your fiery breath can burn the coldest man. And who is going to suffer from the power in your hand?
Thunderball.
Money-hungry minds need a threat to launch a scheme. But those who hold the Thunderball could rule the world, it seems. Cannot the peaceful world find a clue to where she's gone? The silent sea won't answer now, but terror lingers on.
Lingers on.
Thunderball, your fiery breath can burn the coldest man. And who is going to suffer from the power in your hand?
So James Bond rides into town on his horse.
It wasn't officially released on a Johnny Cash album until 2011.
Oh, wow. Okay.
When it was on the From Memphis to Hollywood bootleg volume 2.
Oh, it's a bootleg.
But it was an official, one of those official bootleg type things. So, yeah.
I also want to say for anyone who looks on Wikipedia, they have a page on the Thunderball score. They got it backwards. They said that Shirley Bassey was first, and then they got Dionne Warwick second to sing Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And that is false. It was Dionne Warwick first and Shirley Bassey second. That needs to be corrected for anybody who has that kind of capability of going into Wikipedia pages. Just wanted to throw that out there to our many listeners, so maybe somebody can correct that.
Oh, did anybody have any parting thoughts on the Johnny Cash thing before we move on?
It's a nice little number. It kind of makes me smile.
Yeah, it's like a novelty.
Yeah, but yeah, I can't see it working in a Bond film, no.
I mean, for me, the thing is, it tells the story of the movie, so it made me think, did he write it after he'd actually seen it?
No, apparently when he heard that they were going to do Thunderball, I bet he read the book and wrote the song.
Maybe, yeah.
Probably what he did.
Always like a bit of Johnny Cash, though.
Yeah.
All right. So that brings us to the end of this episode of Raymond Benson's Bond Music 101. If you've got any questions or comments, you can email us at ohmspod@outlook.com or comment on Twitter at ohmspod. Or if you'd like to chat with us personally on social media, you can find me on Twitter at Alan J. Porter or at Bond Lexicon for the Bond stuff, and online at alanjporter.com. Raymond, where can we find you? And do you have any sort of events coming up?
It's summertime, and a lot of my events kind of play out. Although on June 27th, if you're in the Chicagoland area, it's a Thursday night, the Arlington Heights Library is going to screen Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey, and I'm introducing it and leading a discussion afterwards. So you can find details on my website at raymondbenson.com. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter at Raymond Benson. And I just want to say for our next episode, we are going to do, yes, we will, 1967 Casino Royale, music by Burt Bacharach. That's our next episode. Jared.
You can find me at Yard Sale Artist. That's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's all at Yard Sale Artist. And if you're interested in checking out my artistic wares, I will be at Heroes Con on Father's Day weekend in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Excellent. And as always, we have to thank our patrons who support all of the White Rocket endeavors.
Actually, I'm going to kick it over to our network's founder, Van Allen Plexico, to read our Patreon list.
As always, we have to thank our many patrons who keep our shows on the air and keep the bills paid here at the White Rocket Studios. We could not do our many, many shows without you guys and girls, and we really, really appreciate it. For as little as a dollar a month, you can join their ranks, be part of the family, and know that you're doing your part to keep these shows going. Our current patrons include Brendan O'Dwyer, Samuel Salvatore, Christopher Burleson, and Carl Von Drunker, along with Phil Amthor, Winston Boddy, Willie Carden, Susan Trawick, Ben Spooner, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, Justin Bean, Steve Trawick, Richard Stevens, Clarence Alford, David Hegler, Robert Mendenhall, Johnny Caldwell, Reynolds Wolf, Joshua Corbett, Valiant Hermes, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Clay Henson, Ann Kangian, Catherine England, George Gaston, Will Summerford, John McCune, Tom Anderson, David Evers, Andrew Barber, Timothy, Steve Harlan, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Rich Reimer, Jared Albrick, William Glenn Matthews, Joel Beckham, Theodore Gary, Shannon Butson, Taylor Sanford, Mickey B., Hugh Anderson, Shane Bailey, Mick Vigicana, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, Tony Perry, Alex Nguyen, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Earl Ricks, Mike Finley, C.T. Wayne, and Dave Powell, plus Jeremy Minton, Lane Middleton, Donnie Reynolds, Wade Carson, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Chris Commode, Darren Pyle, Chris, Ward Amway, Jason Albrick, Randall Walker, Ben Amos, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, Rob Morgan, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Nicholas Craig, Russell Milling, Matthew Wagstaff, Joey Miller, Mark Squire, Spanky, Brant Rumble, J.W. Rice, Michael Morton, Lawrence Kane, and our one-time donors such as Surfer Chickify and all the others and the anonymous donors. We appreciate all of you. You're all doing your part. You mean so much to us. And again, for as little as a dollar a month, just go to www.plexico.net, www.plexico.net, and you can sign up very easily to be one of our patrons and join that list and have and be thanked every episode and get the other benefits on the Patreon page. Or you can just go to patreon.com and search for White Rocket, and it'll come right up. Thank you so much, and we will see you on the next episode.
Well, thanks for joining us for this episode. Next month, join James Bond, and myself, James Bond, for the swinging psychedelic pandemonium that is the brassy sound of 1967's Casino Royale. Should never let Alan edit the script, and I should probably read it ahead of time, but it's funny. Don't be late to class.
Most of the music from this episode came from the 2003 Thunderball Remastered Soundtrack CD. As always, we encourage you to purchase these CDs or legally download the music to support the creative James Bond community.
Tell you what I've been thinking about, and don't worry, it's legit this time.
I was gonna say, is this gonna get rude or what?
Well, you know, let's just see where it takes us.
Oh, Jared's sending me things now. Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm glad you can't see my screen.
Wow, watch out. I mean, I'm here to soothe you like vanilla, whatever the hell okay. that means.
All right. All right. You know, I'm not going to touch that, but okay. Okay, we can skip. Soothe you like
vanilla. How dare you?
did I hear you right? Skip Shirley Bassey.
Skip Shirley Bassey. Yeah, yeah, I don't know. What are we doing with this show?
Good grief.
Okay.
He's known by very few, but...
Did you call it, Raven?
Yeah, I did.
How dare you? Move him on. And, head him up. Head him up. Move him on.
You cut thus, off Shirley and you cut off Johnny. Great.
I don't know what we're going to do with this
guy. I've got to make dinner. That's why.
You used that excuse last
time. Yeah, I know. That was that time.
You missed all that good stuff for the outtakes bit at the end then.